This morning, our scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter. I invite you to stand as you are able from the reading from the Gospel. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed may the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we begin this season of Advent, we're going to spend a few weeks looking at Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. And that might seem kind of an odd choice as we lead up to Christmas, but you know, it's this timeless story of the pursuit of wealth and the trusting in wealth, and then finding yourself trapped by the very thing that you thought would bring happiness and security. Because really, the truth is, Scrooge lives in each one of us. And as we go through the stories of Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, we will see in that, for Scrooge and for us, this great lesson of God's mercy and God's grace. But for today, we're going to start with the selfish Scrooge. We're going to look at the selfishness of Scrooge. And each week, we'll be showing a little bit of a clip from the movie A Christmas Carol, the version that I chose. If you were here Friday night, you watched The Muppets, but that's not this one. And so we're going to start with a clip about Scrooge and his selfishness. So there, we have it. Just as Jesus in Luke's gospel told the parable of the rich fool who trusted in his money and accumulation of stuff for his security, so too, A Christmas Carol can be for us a parable. With those same instructions that Jesus gave, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Scrooge, of course, is this really exaggerated personality. He's a caricature for the purpose of the parable. But I think Scrooge describes the condition of every person when we turn away from love of God and love of others. Remember those two greatest commandments as the guiding principle in our lives, and look instead to wealth or to other things, and we become really self-focused and really suspicious of the motives of others, and we begin to lose relationships, and like Scrooge, can end up as just a broken shell of a person. Contrast that with his nephew, Fred, right? Fred, who just shines light into any room that he walks into because he's joyful, he is generous in his love, even for his Uncle Scrooge. Not because of his circumstances, but because of the light that is inside him. Do you know people like that? People who can just light up a room just by walking into it because of their joy, because of their generosity of spirit. They're just people that people want to be around. Do you know people like that? And then do you know people like Scrooge who just sort of suck the energy out of the room whenever they walk in. They're joyless. They're not grateful to God. They're not grateful to other people. They're sure that they are completely self-made people. They guard carefully what is their own. They guard against sharing with others. They have no pity on others, most especially not the poor. They blame them for their own plight and bear no responsibility at all. The absolute opposite of what God expects of us. But the human condition, apart from the grace of God, that's what that looks like. We begin to turn inward. We're greedy and selfish and unable to love God, unable to love others, unable even to fully love ourselves. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to see how the conversion of Scrooge occurs. And it's going to be wonderful to watch, but for today, it's important to understand that here, this is where we all start. Estranged from God, estranged from others, interested only in ourselves and in our own little world. Our hearts are frozen, not able to love well or to receive love. And friends, that's where we would stay if God's grace didn't go out and find us. That reminds me then of another parable that Jesus told, also found in the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. That's the parable of the prodigal son. You know that one? It's the story of the son who turned his back on family and on relationships, his relationship with his father. He demanded what he thought was rightfully his, and then he left his family behind in the dust. Sounds a lot like the younger Scrooge, pursuing only what he wanted. Now, again, over the next few weeks, we will see Scrooge come to himself, as we, in the language of the prodigal son. He'll do that through the visitation of the spirits of Christmas past and present and future. But for today, we want to see his lostness, just like the prodigal. Because God's grace will never leave us alone. You can run, but God runs faster. You can hide, but God's grace will always find you. There's a story that author Max Lucado tells about a poor Brazilian girl named Christina, and she longed to see the world. Now, her home in her little village was a very simple home. They had just a little wood-burning stove and a wood pallet to sleep on. Very, very simple. And she hated it. And she dreamed of a better life in the faraway city. And her mother warned her not to go, not to run away. But Christina was pretty headstrong, and one day, sure enough, she ran away to the city. And she broke her mother's heart. Now, Christina's mother, Maria, knew that that her daughter was poor and young and attractive. Three things in a large city. No place to be, and that she would find herself out on the streets. And so she set out herself to go and find her daughter. And on her way to the bus stop, she went into a drugstore with one purpose, and that was to go into a photo booth and to sit there and take as many little black and white pictures of herself, of her face, that she could afford to take. And she took all of these pictures and she put them in her purse, and then off she went to board a bus for Rio de Janeiro. Because you see, Maria knew that Christina had no way to support herself in the city. She also knew that her daughter was very stubborn and very proud and would not turn around and come back home on her own. And when pride like that meets hunger, a human will do things that they never imagined that they would do. Knowing this, Maria went in search of her daughter on the streets of Rio de Janeiro, in the hotels and the nightclubs and any place with a reputation for streetwalkers. She went to all of them. And at every single place that she went, she found a place. pictures of herself on a bathroom mirror, on a hotel bulletin board, or fastened to a corner phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a little note. Eventually, though, all of her photos and all of her money were gone, and she had to return back to her village. All the way home, her mother wept for the daughter that had run away from her love. And it was a few weeks later that Christina descended down the stairs from the sleazy hotel room. Her face, which had been young and full of promise, now looked old. Her eyes that once danced with youth now just spoke of pain and fear and regret. She had no more laughter inside her. Her dream of freedom from her mother had trapped her in a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade all the beds that she had been in for her simple wooden pallet in her little village. But in so many ways, her village was just now too far away. She reached the bottom of the stairs in that hotel. Her eyes noticed a familiar face. She looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a picture of her mother. Her eyes began to fill with tears, and her throat tightened a little bit as she went and pulled that photo off the mirror, and she turned it over, and she saw the note from her mother that read, "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Come home. Grace. Absolute love and acceptance and forgiveness given to one who does not deserve it. That's the definition of grace. No one could have blamed Maria if, when her daughter ran away from home, she just washed her hands of the whole affair and said she's going to get what she deserves. That would have been justice. And Christina deserved that. But Maria didn't give her what she deserved. Instead, at a great personal cost to herself, she provided a way for Christina to come home. That, friends, is grace. Like Christina, like Scrooge, each of us at some point has run away from home. We have thought we could live a life apart from the grace of God and find something else that would bring us satisfaction and peace and happiness. And so rather than to serve the one true God, we find that sometimes we've prostituted ourselves out to false gods. Maybe it was to your career. You gave yourself to your career thinking that was the path to happiness, only to find that you lose your family and you didn't gain what you were looking for. Or maybe you sold yourself to a relationship thinking that in the love of a man or a woman, you would be able to fill those deep needs of your heart. And then one day that relationship was done. Or maybe you sold yourself to religious performance, just thinking that if you did all the right things, that God then would love and to forgive you. And yet, you know, you've messed up so many times that you're just going to quit deluding yourself that you would ever be good enough for God. Or maybe it's to celebration. You sold yourself to the life of the party, thinking that the celebrations would ease your pain, but you find that to fall short. Or maybe like Scrooge. Maybe like Scrooge, you have the delusion that you are a self-made man or woman who deserves all that you have and more. Maybe today you're in the far country of your own making, that place that keeps you separated from those who want to love you and those for whom Christ died. Friends, we all, like sheep, like Christina and the prodigal and Scrooge, we've all gone astray. This morning, you may be like that person, Christina. Maybe there's someone here today who feels like you've just gone too far from home. And so if you are here and you're that person, I want you to hear this one thing. If you don't hear anything else from this sermon, you haven't gone too far. It isn't too late. Like Christina's mother, your Heavenly Father is forever out searching for you. He's seen you cry and cried with you. He's seen you reach the top only to discover it wasn't the top at all, but maybe the bottom, and he's called your name. You don't deserve to come to him. None of us do. But like Christina, you and I have been given what we do not deserve. Today, God extends grace to you and says, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Come home. Grace. It's for Christina. It is for Scrooge. It is for you, and praise be to God, it is for me. Will you pray with me? Holy God, Lord, we confess to you this morning that there are times that we try to find our deepest satisfaction in things, or in people, or in accomplishments, or in trying to be so good. Help us remember, O God, that we are yours not because of what we do, but because of who you are. Help us this day to accept your grace, the only power that has the ability to turn our hearts from our focus only on ourselves to true love for you, for others, for this world, and even for ourselves in your eyes. Grace, help us this day to accept it and to bask in it. Amen.